And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or judged. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Quite a chapter, quite a challenge before me. And let's look to the Lord. I'm trusting his direction. I have notes for the entire chapter, but Lord, how far am I going to be able to get in all of this morning? You pray with me that I will know the Lord's direction on that, okay? Let's look to him, shall we? Father, what a tremendous passage of Scripture we have before us, and we just commit our time to you. Lord, we want to do right by your word, not rush through it and miss what you would have for us, but by the same token, not attempt to do so much that we extend this service longer than the time that we have set aside. So show us, Lord. We just thank you for these truths that Paul has revealed to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We just think of the ministry that you enabled him to have as a servant of yours there in that wicked city of Corinth, when he was led by your Spirit to take the gospel there. And then your gospel began to change hearts and lives. We pray, Lord, that you would show us what you have for us. Thank you for this. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be attentive to the Spirit's leading as he indwells your own children, to teach us and instruct us and show us the way. We commit ourselves to you. In your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Paul had spent time in chapter 1 referring to God's wisdom, methods, and ways in spreading the gospel message, which was the message of the cross. In that first chapter, we find that Paul had referred to his own practices when he had brought the gospel to the Corinthians years earlier, and that he had majored on just preaching the gospel, that that's what the Lord had called him to do. And that was what he had shared with them earlier, that year and a half of time that he spent there bringing the gospel to them. In chapter 2, we notice that Paul continued referring to his ministry with them and the methods that he had used in that time spent laboring among them. Having said that, let's notice first of all in verses 1 through 5 that in these verses, Paul documented his ministry. He documented his ministry. And notice A, the character of that ministry in verses 1 through 4. Or the characteristics, I guess, was actually the word that I wanted to use. The characteristics of that ministry among them. In these four verses, Paul elaborated with regards to his ministry. By that, I mean, in these verses, Paul spells out what his ministry among them was not and what it was. Methods he had used and things that he had stayed away from. So in doing this, in describing the characteristic of it, he was just adding more truth. Thus, I've used the word documenting the ministry that God had given him as he had labored there among them. In verses, when was Paul at Corinth? Well, several messages ago, in the beginning message or two, we discover in the book of Acts chapter 18, and we're not turning there, Acts chapter 18 documents for us when the gospel came to the wicked city of Corinth. God had used the apostle Paul. It tells us in Acts chapter 18 that Paul left the city of Athens and he was led to the city of Corinth. And it's in that 18th chapter that we see the record of Paul bringing the gospel to them, the preaching, the methods that he had used. And we saw that first off, in the first six verses, I think, Paul had spent his time, as was his custom at that point, of going to the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the Jews. But the Jews rejected him. They didn't want that. And so we find that it records for us, Paul just simply tells them, I'll take the gospel to the Gentiles. If you Jews don't want it, I'll take it to these. They'll want to hear it. And so we find that, I think it's about in verse 8 of Acts chapter 18, there were some of the, I think the chief priest or the head of the synagogue mentions his name. He accepted the Lord, and many of the Corinthians, the Gentiles, believed and were baptized. And so Paul labored there for that year and a half before he was and led by the Spirit to go elsewhere. And it was during that time that the local church at Corinth was established. Well, as Paul was there, what was his practice? What was his practice? What was it that he used, the ministry? What were the characteristics of it? We notice in verse 1, he makes reference to the style in verse 1. He says, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Not with excellency of speech, which simply means distinguishing eloquence. Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come with all kinds of fancy words. Now you see, the Greeks, they were interested in that, and so were many in the city of Corinth. We see even from chapter 1, as there were factions over the various preachers who had labored there in Corinth. There were some who had been taken to become followers of Apollos. Apollos was a man who was very eloquent in his words. The words just flowed from his lips. And there were some that said, oh, I just love to hear, oh, his use of the languages and the words he puts together. That's for me. And Paul, as he's documenting his ministry, refers to the style as far as the characteristics. And he said, when I came to you, I made sure that I did not come to you with just excellency, distinguishing eloquence of my words, or trying to impress you with my abundance of knowledge or the wisdom. He said, I didn't come trying to impress you on how much I knew or understood in the ways of the world and in the wisdom that you listeners would have been interested in hearing. Paul said, I did not bring that to you. I did not bring that to you. We find in his declaring, we see here, declaring unto you the testimony of God. This word declaring means announcing, publishing, or making known. He said, when I came and announced and started talking to you about what was on my heart, I stayed away from that which quite often people are interested in listening to. I stayed away from fancy-sounding words and impressing you with the things I knew, the words of wisdom and understanding. He said, when I came, I just came declaring to you, announcing to you the testimony of God. The testimony of God. Now, we find in Liberty Study Bible, they say what Paul meant by this was that it was not Paul's testimony of God, in other words, what Paul knew about God, but that it was God's testimony of himself, which was namely the message of the cross. Now, as I compared the Liberty suggestion with some of my other sources, there are some that would agree, that would say that, yeah, we think that this was not Paul's words about God giving the testimony the truths, what he knows about God, but that it was God's about himself. Others would say it could have been either way. It could have been Paul's words telling his own testimony about what Christ is, what God has done in his own heart and his life, what he understands about God, or he could have just been conveying God's own words concerning the cross himself. Do you know? I don't think it matters which one you choose. It's not going to be a doctrinal difference either way. Notice here the style, the characteristics, and we saw there in verse 1 that he had stayed away from the excellency of speech and high-sounding knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul refers to some exclusions or the subjects here. We saw his style in verse 1 as we're looking at the characteristics. And here we see some exclusions, certain things that he said, I determined. What he means is he had resolved, he had already decided before he ever began opening his mouth to share the word of God with these Corinthians. He said, I had made the decision that I was not going to share, teach, relate to you anything other than Christ and him crucified. From such an array of topics that Paul could have taught. Remember now who he was and the knowledge that Paul had and understood as being taught in all the Jewish ways at the feet of Gamaliel before the Lord saved him on the road to Damascus. There was a world of topics that Paul could have talked to them about. But he said, I had determined that I was going to limit my message to one topic. Just one thing. And that was Christ's work on the cross. We notice as we go on to verse 3, we see as far as his characteristics, he makes reference to the fact that he had been restricted when he was laboring among them. Restricted, it says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. What Paul says, I was there with you with a sense of insufficiency in myself and of the infinite importance of the truth I wanted to share with you. He said, I was there with you with no confidence in myself whatsoever. He mentions, I was with you in fear, in trembling, weakness, so on. Some authors say they don't really believe that Paul ever really was labored or ministered with fear and trembling. I'm not so sure that I agree with those, especially as I look at certain passages of Scripture, such as while he was in Acts chapter I mean, while he was in Acts. He wasn't in Acts. He was in Corinth. In Acts chapter 18, while he was there bringing the gospel to them and people started getting saved in verse 8 of Acts chapter 18, look at verses 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace, for I am with you. And no man shall set on you or be able to hurt you, for I have much people in this city." I see that as a word of encouragement to strengthen the heart of one of the Lord's servants who, you know, you say, well, these apostles, they weren't afraid of anything. These apostles were men. Do men ever have fears? Sure we do. It's natural. We find ourselves in certain situations, and the old ticker even knocks the microphone off of the tie. The old ticker, it'll kick in. It's just human nature. This wasn't the only place. As Paul wrote to the, look at chapter 20 of the book of Acts, chapter 18. In verse 20, verses 18 and 19, a couple of chapters later, Paul, as he was with the Ephesian elders, he said, when they were come to him, he said unto them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you. You know what I was like when I was with you, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Paul says, you know how I was concerned about those around me and what they would think of the ministry and the message I was bringing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 8 through 10, Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're persecuted, but not in despair." I'm sorry, perplexed, but not in despair. "Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." And one last reference, as Paul referred to his humanity in Galatians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." So as I look at our text, and I can say, I don't know that I would wholeheartedly agree with those who say, well, Paul, he didn't have any fears. I mean, he was the apostle, and I see evidence of the fact of his humanity and the Lord. He was a man of humble spirit. He was not overconfident, but he was a man of reality, knowing, and even some of the places, they thought he was ministering in places where Paul said, I thought I was going to lose my life. Well, praise the Lord for his ministry. Praise the Lord for his testimony. Notice in verse 4, as we go back to our text, my speech and my preaching, it was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We find here, especially this word enticing. He said, I stayed away from speaking, preaching with enticing words. You look at what that word enticing means. Some of your marginal references, it means very simply persuasive. Paul said, as I brought the gospel to you, I wasn't standing in front of you trying to twist your arm and persuade you to do something that I thought was really important to you in relation to my own wisdom, my own understanding. That's what we see in verse 4. He said, I did not use those persuasive. Man can come up with some persuasive arguments, but he said, I did not use any persuasive words as far as man's wisdom is concerned, but instead, as I stood and preached, there was the demonstration. A characteristic of his message was the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What do you mean, the demonstration of the Spirit and power? Obviously, as he was proclaiming the gospel, changes were occurring by the work of the Spirit and the power of God in the lives of the hearers. Paul said, that's what characterized my ministry. As I shared Christ and Christ crucified, that message which we saw back in chapter 1, that those that perish call foolishness. He said, I was preaching to you the simplicity of the gospel in as clear and as simple language as I possibly could, the truth of Christ. And he said, it was effective. How do I know? Because of what the Spirit was doing, bringing changes, and the changes that were coming about in lives by the power of God. Verse 4. It was not Paul's style that changed the lives, but the simple truth of the message of Christ crucified, buried, and risen again. And may I just put this on pause for a minute? You know, as I thought about this, I thought, you know, here, the Apostle Paul, yes, he had a special ministry. God took him to Corinth. But you know, before the Lord left, he commissioned his followers. He gave us a job to do. And what did he tell us to do? Go ye into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I look at these verses that we've looked at because I know what some of us say. Some of us are quick to say, oh, I'm not good with words. Did you see what we looked at here with the characteristic of Paul's ministry? He didn't take a bunch of fancy sounding words to those people. He just told them the simple truth of Christ and Christ crucified. Have you ever tried just giving the simple gospel message to someone? You say, oh, I'm so afraid. I'm so fearful. I was with you in fear and trembling as well, Paul said. But you know what? I didn't let my fears and my trembling keep my mouth shut. But it does us, doesn't it? So many times. As we give out, you see, the power of the gospel is just as effective in 2024 as it was the day God revealed it through the finished work of his Son on the Lord Jesus, with the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, I think we're without excuse. As I look at these first verses here that we've considered this morning, the excuses that we come up with, Paul has addressed them. We don't have to be excellent in speech or wisdom. I'm afraid they might ask me a question that I don't know. Do you know there's nothing wrong with just telling that person? You know, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, I would be happy to try to find the answer myself or talk with someone and get back with you. But, oh, we let that shut us down, don't we? I wouldn't know what to say. And they might ask me something I don't know the answer for. Paul said, that isn't how I brought the gospel to you. And he said, I had decided that the only thing I was going to talk to you about was Christ crucified. Get acquainted with that message. Review the gospel. The relevance of the gospel. We're dead in trespasses and sin, and we need a Savior because we can't save ourselves. And so, but I'd be too fearful. Paul said, I was afraid too, but you know I opened my mouth. It wasn't with persuasive words. It wasn't just learning just how to use that little phrase to, you know, just kind of back them into the corner and twist their arm and persuade them. This is what you ought to do. He said, I didn't use any of that. And that brings us to B. And that's the cause. Why? Why did Paul adopt the methods he used in his ministry in Corinth? Here's why. Verse 5. Paul said, I stayed away from excellency of speech. I stayed away from words of wisdom. I came even though I was fearful, I was trembling, I was weak. My speech, it wasn't polished. It didn't have any persuasive words. But he said, I just opened my mouth and proclaimed Christ and him crucified because, that's B, the cause, I wanted your faith to stand in the power of God not in the power of man's wisdom. For you see, if we have convinced someone to accept what we're saying and accept the message, but the Spirit of God isn't working in their heart, they're going to have faith in what you've said. Well, you know, Jerry said that if I open my mouth and say this prayer, and my faith is going to be on what Jerry said rather than the power of God and what he has done in the life to change me. Oh, beloved, how important this feature is as we look at Paul's ministry as he documented his ministry among them, so that the faith of the listeners would be in the power of God alone and not in some fancy persuasive words spoken by some traveling preacher. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is your faith in what God says in his word and what changes God has brought in your life? Remember, Paul said, as I was preaching, I just preached the simplicity of it, and my preaching was accompanied with the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. The Spirit got a hold of hearts, and the power of God changed lives. Has there been a change in your heart? Has there been a change in your life? If so, praise the Lord. But if not, maybe you need to put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. Again, relax. We're not going to attempt to go any further this morning. I've got way too much material, and it is so blessedly important that we could not do justice continuing in this chapter. But I think we've got quite a bit to take home and chew, don't you? As we think about, as Paul documented the ministry, you know, in reality, I realize none of us are apostles. They've come and gone. Their days are done. But the things that Paul said in these first five verses, I challenge every one of you that know the Lord as your own personal Savior to take home and ponder, meditate on, especially with regards to the task the Lord has given. I've got a job to do. I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel. Why aren't I? All of these flimsy excuses I make, they don't hold water. It's God's word that brings faith. It's God's truth, as the Spirit works in the heart of the listener, that brings the changes to lives. Thank God for Paul documenting his ministry for his readers. I needed it. How about you? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for this time this morning, and thank you for even making it clear and plain that we ought not to just rush headlong through these verses. We praise you for the truth that Paul shared. May we be doers of your word and not just hearers only. May we personalize Paul's words. May we see how we too need to avoid persuasive words and words of eloquence and that which would be impressive to the ears of the listeners. Lord, help us to just take the simple, "Thus saith the Lord," and that whosoever believeth on your Son should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help us each to tuck this message at a corner of our hearts where we think of it often and review its truths. And if there are any listening here today that need to put their faith and trust in you, I pray they would. And if there are any out on the internet that are going to hear this, I pray, Lord, you would bring them to salvation through the working of the Holy Spirit, convincing, convicting of sin, but opening their hearts to the blessed gospel truth, salvation by grace through faith. In your name we pray. Amen.